We serve an awesome Father. And I can remember when He began to let me know that He was my Father. I had such a hard time with that. And of course, this past week, when Doug was here, he was reminding us that the Father's living in us. That was another level of ouch. I had tremendous fear of fathers. Didn't comprehend fathers and how they function. In my understanding of fathers, they were selfish and motivated on themselves. I didn't realize that they had disabilities just like everyone else. And when I became a father, I decided that I wouldn't make those mistakes. And guess what I did? Made the same mistakes. But I want to take heart today. My Father does love you. He's our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be. Your kingdom come in me. Your will be done in me, just as it is in heaven. And I cried out to the Lord for His will to be done this morning. That His word would come alive through what we experienced in the past 6 days. And I'm reminding you that He did an awful lot in 7 days. He did a marvelous work this morning, and some of us are still trying to decide if we want to roll over and get roasted on the other side. Anybody got a clue on that one? Okay. And what I saw was a vision of our three deacons standing here as Pastor Jay was praying over them. And I can remember saying to the Lord, because there was one that questioned, well, what do deacons do? And then we had a wonderful friend ask us, how does a deacon deek? And we had an incredible answer, one at a time. And I would say that they deek whenever they're ready. So, on a light note, we need to be able to just trust our God and let Him do what He wants with us, the very best of our ability. And going back to Acts chapter 6, because when I saw the vision, I said, okay, Lord. Acts chapter 6 shows us, in those days, verse 1, when the numbers of disciples was increasing, etc., etc., and this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith, verse 5, and of the Holy Spirit, and also Philip, and all the other names. Verse 6, they presented these men to the apostles, and who prayed and laid their hands on them, etc. Then it goes to verse 8. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Did you hear that? Miraculous signs among the people. Miraculous signs among the people. Who did the miraculous signs? God did. Using Stephen. He also became one that confronted if you look at chapter 7, you'll see that he was intense on letting them know who he was and who Jesus was. He reminded them that Moses had given them a law. And they had perverted it. Then in chapter 7 and verse 48. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me? Says the Lord. Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And then, of course, he let them know where they were missing the mark. And he goes on, verse 53. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. Those of you who were with us last night, remember that there was a vision about angels encamped around about, ministering angels, ready to do the bidding that needs to be done. For those who cry out, will you cry out? What did those angels do? They were with the Lord's people all through the centuries. Verse 54, they heard this. They were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at his right hand. Did you hear that? Jesus standing at his right hand. Now, Scripture says in Ephesians that he sits at the right hand. How come he got up? Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen's eyes were spiritually able to see our Savior standing and saying, okay, keep on going. Don't stop. And at this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Arrogant Saul. Defiant Saul. Righteous for religious purposes, Saul. So is there anything too hard for God? While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. While they were stoning me. Try it on. What am I? Am I not like the Most High? Am I not the one that has the Lord in me? Am I not the ones that they're going to stow thrones at? Yes? Get a clue about how he responds. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. Some will approve not only your stoning, some will approve that you should be killed. Why would God anoint this man and then allow him to go home to the Father in such a short time? I mean, you get ordained, you get lifted up, you get this and you get that from God. Amen? And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. Why? I believe that the death of this man gave birth to the next man that couldn't stand him. When you and I die to self, doesn't mean you have to have a physical death. When you and I die to self and we begin to be the servants of the Most High, serving one another, serving the body of Christ, serving the unbeliever, dedicating yourself to lift up the ones that are dragging themselves back and forth around whatever, jobs, families, etc. When you become that servant, that humble servant, and you consistently give of yourself to the best of your ability, yes, they will want to kill you, but you will bring life into those that can't stand you. Who do they call when they have a real crisis in their home? Is it your phone number that they have? Would you mind praying for so-and-so? They're not feeling too good today, yet they couldn't talk to you last week. Anybody relate? Why? Because your dying gives them hope that there is someone that knows the Most High. The next verse says, chapter 8, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. Verse 1. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Why does God let that happen? Maybe it's that Saul can begin to see himself. Do you ever see somebody that loves God that can't stand you go off and spread lies about you? They ever lie about you, Linda? Rita? Gail? Maria, they ever lie about you? That gives you an answer, right? Darlene, do you ever lie about you? Peggy? Sure they. And I could go keep on going around the room. You see, if you have the similitude of a servant who was able to be lifted up and then to be persecuted, then there's also hope for you and me. Philip is the other guy that I want you to see. If you go back, you'll see he was the other person that was ordained. Okay? Acts chapter 6. Okay? Now, verse 5, it says, the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip. And then you see Philip in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. He's chosen to go to Samaria. Amen? Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So So now you see the purpose of the persecution, to get him out of the city. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ, the anointed one. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. That's how deacons deacon. So there was great joy in the city. Do I keep on going and tell you about the sorcerer and all that other stuff? I think it's time for you to educate yourself a little bit. You see, I'm not after what happened then. I'm trying to excite you about what's happening tomorrow. I'm trying to let you know that you've been into a hard place, and yes, you were lifted up, and many others with you, because you see, we all have friends, don't we? When God lifts one up, there may be persecution, but there will also be signs and wonders. Do they have to be these signs and wonders? I pray they are. But whatever signs and wonders will follow each and every single one of you that is pressed in to obey the Holy Father, who said this is a season called Passover. Go over. There was a bridge last night seen in the Spirit. When you go over. Amen? The Jordan this morning. Pass over. Did you catch it? It's Passover season. This is the seventh day. Now, will you look only at the pain? No. I want you to remind yourself that the Father who began this good work will not only allow hardship, but he'll allow signs and wonders and miracles. Last night as I was watching these three getting what, you know, I was happy to see them get, the Lord was showing me they're going to go out. They're going to give, and they're going to have, and they're going to release the word of the Most High. And as they release, changes will take place, not only in the body of unbelievers, but in the body of Christ. Giving more freedom. Giving more freedom for some to do other things. Because now they will carry their responsibility to obey the Lord, wherever the Lord releases them to be. Now, that doesn't mean they're moving anywhere. That just means that they're going to be active from a different level. How many noticed that our song leader this morning was active from a different level? Come on, put your hand up because he needs to see. How many were touched because he obeyed? Two hands, yes. You know why, what I'm saying to you? We are not going to be where we were because this is Passover. So look at your neighbor, say, we've passed over. That's a reality. Amen? Now, passing over whatever hardship, whatever difficulty, whatever hopelessness may have been in your past, passing over is what we're doing. And this morning, as I was walking in, and I wanted to make room on the altar for the real lamb, I knew I was to cover this guy. How do you like this guy? Doesn't he look cozy? Isn't he? And I said, Lord, why did you want him covered? He says, because he's resting. Now, remember, we have this other guy over here. Those of you who are listening to this program or message on the internet, I'm talking about this lamb that we've laid down and this other lamb who's got a little injured leg and this baby one that's bewildered, like, what is up? That's kind of what I get out of this space. What's going on? So, you know, you may think you're nothing, but God can lift you up. You may think I've only got a little tiny bit of Jesus in me. But I tell you, as you rest, you'll grow. As you rest, you'll grow. Cover yourself with the anointing of the Lord. Cover yourself in prayer daily. And let the Holy Spirit use you for whatever He's designed and prepared for you to be. You know, wondering how we will manifest the next level? I don't know. But I know this. As we watch what happens to Philip, he goes out there and he does awesome things. Now, I want you to see something just a little bit deeper for what deacons do. Verse 20 of chapter 8. Peter is correcting a man that's jealous. And he wants everything for free, doesn't want to work for it. And he's trying to get Peter to do for him. Peter says no. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God." Your heart is not right before God. Now, is there hope for a person whose heart is not right before God? Yes. 22. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive you for having such a thought in your hearts. For I see that you are full of bitterness and a captive to sin. That's a word of knowledge. And it also says, I see, meaning a vision. Peter is a gift to the body of Christ. How many know we had a gentleman that was a gift to the body of Christ last night? Okay? He came in here and he obeyed the Holy Spirit, and whatever he received, he gave out. And how many saw that the different visions and pieces of knowledge that were in the body were able to come out and bless those who had a need? I compliment each and every one of you. You say, well, I didn't get a word. Why am I getting complimented? Because you were here supporting. Because you were here obeying. You were here to do what God told you to do to the best of your ability. Some were here to receive, some were here to give. Maybe you thought, oh, well, I only had this to give. That's more than enough. Peter gave two words to this man, changed his life. We don't know the down the road of this man, but we do know this. He had a chance to change it. Just like you and me. We have a chance to change it. Whatever it is, submit it to the Lord. If there's a piece of you that you can't clean up, guess who's the good shepherd? He will take over. He is a good shepherd. He'll pick you up. He'll carry you. He'll do whatever he has to in order to get you across that Jordan. Whatever it is, it's not too big for God. I was sharing when I had some time with Jay yesterday, as we shared a few things, and I said, I'm going to remind you of what was spoken to me when there was an earth shattering, or my earth shattering experience, and I was so concerned about how, and should I do, and could I do, and will I do. And this intense man of God, I was on the phone with him. And he lived in Washington State, in Spokane. And he said, Kim, I'm going to tell you something that I heard from one of my spiritual fathers. Of course, my ears perked up because he had been successful in what God wanted him to do. He said, never be afraid to make it hard for God. Jay looked at me and he said, what? Never be afraid to make it hard for God. In other words, if you have been commissioned and somebody prophesies over you and said you should do this and this and this, and you don't have it in your heart, it's not there. It's not comfortable. Never be afraid to make it hard for God. Never be afraid to turn it back over to the Lord and say, I don't have these things in me. Now, if I'm to do what you have, I believe, spoken to me, or spoken through another individual that I should do, then you're going to confirm everything in two or three times over. I can remember Diana Drew. She was a gift to me for many years. And this one time I had received three times the same message, three different individuals. But it was a word that was going to change a lot of things in my life. And it was going to affect a lot of people. Okay? And God used Diana. And I can remember we had an incredible Friday night service. I think it was her Tuesday. But I think it was Friday because we were in the main sanctuary. And she comes up to me and she says, Kim, I keep hearing this crazy word. And it don't make a darn bit of sense. Well, it must be God, because if it don't make sense, it must be God. She says, what I keep hearing is everybody wants two or three, but God will do four and five for you. And the tears started rolling out of my eyes. And she knew she had hit the target. And I said, you have no idea this wonderful gift you've just provided. Now, was Diana perfect? Absolutely not. Was she human? Absolutely. Was she like any other woman of God, obedient to give what she received? Yes. What did that do? It gave me such joy in my heart. Because God was saying, I will confirm everything three times, but for you, even four and five if necessary. Make it hard for God. Don't be afraid to make it hard for God. Don't be afraid to knock on his door and say, I'm not getting it. Did you ever get into a corner and you just don't know what to do? I'm not catching on. Oh, this other person's got all of it solved. Well, that's fine for them, but it ain't for me. But that word meant, as far as Diane was concerned, it wasn't very logical. You know, she was just being obedient. Some of you obeyed and gave of yourself so that others may live. And that's how the body of Christ will become what he's called us to be. Verse 24. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. So what's happening to this man as he responds? Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Had he an understanding of what this word of knowledge was about to reveal about himself? When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south. An angel of the Lord said, what? Talk about instruction. Jay reminded you last night. Angels have been already commissioned, ministering angels. They're already around the city. Who's going to get instructions? Yoo-hoo! You! Say, I will get instructions. No different than Philip. Amen? Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, say, the Spirit of the Lord can tell me go. Now, the blank of the go is not going to be filled in because I'm not going to tell you where you need to go. But the angel of the Lord will speak to you. Go! And, okay, Lord. I've said this story before, but I think it needs to be repeated because it's bouncing in my head and I can see myself. This is when God was training me to become a deacon. I didn't really comprehend. I didn't know what he was up to. But I remember this particular morning, my wife had gone to work, my father-in-law is doing whatever his commission is to do, and the kids are doing whatever. Gary's in the service at this time. I'm getting in the bathroom doing my teeth or doing something personal, and I hear the Lord say, you need to go to Westfield this morning, right away. Well, I had no intentions of going to Westfield, but I heard it. You need to go to Westfield now. Was an angel in my bathroom? Nah, I guess so. He was speaking to me. So, was it an angel? I'm not positive, but I know I heard it. So I kind of hurried up, and then I started making plans. Okay? The plan was, well, you're going to have to fix this over there in a few days. So on your way to Westfield, you better pick up the moldings and you can just come back on the highway. It'll be easier that way and you'll save money, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, all this wonderful reasoning came into my head. Wonderful reasoning. Okay? So I got on the highway and I got off of the Mass Pike on Route 5. And I started heading south and it was raining. I had a brand new car. All of a sudden, I can't see. Because the windshield wipers just gave completely up. They wouldn't function for all the money in the world. I pushed the button. I did everything I could do. It wasn't going to happen. I pushed the button. I reached, started. I said, Lord, what's wrong? And I heard, I told you to go to Westfield now. Oh, you mean I can't go pick up my moldings? No. So I said, Lord, but what about these windshield wipers? Turn around. So I'm at the West Springfield Rotary. I make a decision to pull off so that I can go around and go the other way. Now, I can't hardly see because the rain is just ugly, okay? As I turn the wheel just a quarter of an inch to head towards the exit ramp on Route 5, guess what happened? Flip-flop, 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 and they never became defective, and I owned the car for years. Why? I need to be in Westfield. Now, I've got no clue why. So, I did the U-ey, got back on the highway, went straight to Westfield, and now I get to Westfield and I walk into the Christian bookstore. And I knew that's where I needed to go. You know, I had seen it in my head. I walk through the door and Thea says, oh, I'm so glad you're here, Kim. You're late. I'm late? And she says, there's a man back there. He can't talk my language. You remember, I speak German and I speak English, but I don't speak French. Get back there. So he's in the back room. And this man is weeping. His wife is with him. She understands both languages to a degree. And they're from upstate Vermont. And I hear, he needs you. Because Thea had another customer, so, you know, she had to take care of them. By the way, Thea's with the Lord. I go into that little back room. It was a little tiny room. And I sat next to this gentleman and his wife, and I said, may I pray for you? And I don't remember the rest, because now I'm ministering in French. Did what God said to do. The man accepted the Lord. Was transformed, the wife was full of joy, and come to find out the man's dying of cancer. He was only in Westfield for a few hours. They stopped at the Christian bookstore because the lady had actually connected. I don't remember the way that it happened, but they knew each other a little bit. And she had come there for some hope for her husband. And Thea can't communicate. She tried, but, you know, it's hard when it's not your language. It wasn't hard for me. So they left. We anointed them with oil. We did all the things that we needed to do. Thea's very happy. She says, well, what kept you? Was I about to tell her that I was going to go buy moldings? Was I going to tell her about all this other stuff? No. I kept it to myself. Today I can make it public. I've said it a few times, but you see, eating humble pie is not a bad thing. Okay? What happened? Because I obeyed, and I was stubborn at the same time. I mean, you know, hey, I did both. The Holy Spirit ministered to this man, and by the way, a few days later, he went home to be with Jesus. And his wife called Thea and said, don't forget to tell that man we're grateful. Do you know I didn't feel good about it at all? Because all I had was the vision of me with my molding set on my own pattern. What was wrong? There was a false idol in my wall. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. He said, Lord, these idols, these things that keep us from really focusing on you, need to go. And I believe that that's what that song was all about, and that word of knowledge, my friend. Thank you. Get rid of your moldings. Let the windshield wipers work all the way to Westfield. Don't get off the highway and try to save money. And try to save time and all that other stuff. Human reasoning will get you out of the will of God. Human reasoning will pull you out of the will of God. Come on, close your eyes. Say it with me. Human reasoning will pull me out of the will of God. When the Spirit of God says, go, show me where, Lord. And show me when. And if he says, go now, give me the courage to do it. Amen? Back to verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Didn't say get in, did he? Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared. Are you ready? Are you ready, deacons, to be deaked up and brought to a different city for a different purpose of God. That's how deacons speak. Are you ready, women of God? Are you ready, men of God, to be transported to wherever you need it for the glory of our Father? Doug said it's going to save a lot for the church on plane fares. And you won't have to worry about the terminal being clogged and the baggage department being, Are you hearing me? You see, God is restoring the book of Acts plus. God is getting ready for his people to be brought where they need to go. Are you ready to travel for him? Wherever he wants you to go. See, Philip didn't have a problem with picking up his molding. I did. I want to go wherever he tells me to go to the best of my ability. So would you bow your heads now? Say, Lord Jesus, am I ready to travel like Philip? I'm learning now to submit and obey and adapt myself to your way to the best of my ability. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Would you lift your hands towards the gifts, please? Say, Father, I thank you that I've done my part. Show me if there's any adjustment so that your will can be done in this house of prayer for your glory. Amen?
Amen.
And amen.